Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way, podcast. Brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
Welcome.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
1 hour down, three to go. In the news coming up, plenty of little juicy tidbits, including quite possibly the best and worst day a New Jersey man has ever had. At 1.1 afternoon.
Let me ask you, you just mentioned 1 hour down.
Yeah.
Flying by. You know, at a baseball game, you need five innings to be official.
Yeah.
We were talking about the record-breaking show today.
Yeah, three in a row.
At what point, is there a time line of the show where it's an official show? Like, if something happens and we go off the air right now, can we still count this as the record-breaking third show? What's our fifth inning?
I'm gonna say yes, because back in the day, like when we had the Mariners, we did 1 hour shows.
Okay, and that counts as an official show.
Yeah, I mean, I was forced to come in and do it, so I've done 1 hour shows. Believe me, there were back in the day, there were many times I lobbied for the boss. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. You're gonna make me drive out here, do a 1 hour show, turn it over to Rick Riz, and then get back in my car and drive like 2 hours in traffic? It's like, come on.
You sure turn it over to Rick Riz. I wish Rick Riz was here right now.
And then my boss would tell me to shut up and drive in and be happy that I was only working an hour.
Get on the radio. Okay, so.
I think at the hour mark, I feel pretty confident at 4:04 that this is a countsies.
Okay.
Like if somehow Mike, I don't know, like dumped a Diet Dr. Pepper all over the board and then it blew out, I'm claiming this was a show.
Still counts as a show.
Yeah, you were here.
Okay.
This is a counties.
All right, just checking.
Yeah, we're legit at this point. Don't stress about it. Now, I don't mean to be like ugly American soccer guy, because it always bothers me when we do the, you know, offsides, why do you have it? But the one thing about soccer, as I was watching the final 15 minutes of the World Cup, that I don't fully understand, and maybe Soccer Mike can explain this to me, with the whole extra time thing, why don't they just stop the clock?
Because the clock never stops in soccer. That's the whole point.
Why?
It's just how it is. It's the clock is always running, and that's why they add time at the end of it. It's not a perfect system.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of complaints about how much stoppage time they give teams.
Has there ever been talk of just, so I get it, like with celebrations and people rolling around and all that, wouldn't it, and I guarantee for soccer guy right now, they're like, shut the hell up, you dumbass American.
Well, I mean, I don't know the answer, but all I know is that's how it is. It's every no matter what in soccer, the clock is running. So
like of all the things in soccer, that's the
it's like a metaphor for life.
It just keeps going.
The clock, from the moment you're born, Mike, your clock is ticking. And sometimes.
Wow. Way to make this depressing.
Right. Sometimes we're in extra time and sometimes we're not. Like me, I'm 45. I'm probably in the second half here. I've probably made it to the second half. I'd like to think I'll make it to extra time.
No,
not going to happen.
Did you see Dan Rather's tweet the other day?
Yes. How depressing is that?
Wow. So Dan
Rather. I
thought
that was from today. That was really depressing.
Right?
I'm going to go and find this.
It's like the end of the Notebook.
Yeah. It kind of blew me away on this one.
Yeah. He was not.
Like, what was Dan Rather basically tweeted out?
Getting ready to die.
Yes, and that he was kind of looking forward to dying a little bit. And then he was, I'm going to pull this up here. Yeah, kill some time here for a second. Do something entertaining while I bring up Dan Rather.
Pay no attention to us stalling
on the Twitter.
There you go.
Oh, for hell's
sake.
Pay
no attention to us stalling.
All right, I'm just going to have to paraphrase it because I can't find it. I can't pull it up. So Dan Rather tweeted out, by the way, who knew Dan Rather was on Twitter? I did not.
I did know that.
I didn't.
I've seen him. I've seen him tweet out some. I've seen him floating around in some anti-Trump chains here and there. So I knew that he was on there.
Dan Rather tweeted.
I just didn't know he was so depressing.
Yeah, he tweeted out, going for a walk with like my lovely wife. And with each step, I realize that I'm closer to that, the eternal walk. They're getting slower.
Here's what he says.
We found it. Yeah,
here he is. Dan Rather. I cherish taking leisurely strolls with my wife, Jean, at twilight. My steps are getting slower, and increasingly, I have another journey on my mind, the one into eternity.
He's thinking about dying.
But the joy, the sheer unadulterated joy of a hand-in-hand slow walk as the evening shadows fall never ceases.
He's like writing death haikus
while
taking walks with the lovely Jean, who I'm sure is a wonderful woman.
Jean Rather is a saint.
When I read that, I guess it was kind of poetic, but at the same time, I was like, damn, Dan Rather is dying.
Yeah.
Like, he knows he's dying.
Feels like it.
Yeah, but I guess he sounds like he's okay with it.
It's like the Rockford Files at the end of the Notebook.
Yes.
He knows he's going.
Well, our dad died of cancer. Our stepdad did. We still have one dad kicking around.
Yes, we do.
But I'll still never, like, everyone handles death differently. And I love how, by the way, we've gone from soccer extra time to death talk.
Hey, I think that's a good metaphor that I threw out there.
It was a solid effort.
I feel pretty happy with that.
Like, our grandmother died of cancer, and she fought it tooth and nail.
Yes.
She did not want to go.
No.
Was petrified.
Scared of it, yes.
And then a handful of years later, our stepdad gets it, and when he found out the news that he was terminal, I remember being in the hospital room with him, and we're all crying, and it was like this awful thing when they're like, hey, there's nothing else we can do. And my dad smiles at the doctor and goes, all right, pack me up. Let's get me home.
Yeah.
Not hanging out in here.
No, he was at peace with it.
Yeah. And then he was making phone calls from bed telling like relatives. And he would be like, hey, it's Bob Brown. Haven't talked to you in a while. Just going to leave you a message. If you don't get a chance to get back to me, I'm dying. And just wanted to let you know that I'm not going to be around much longer. So call me back if you want. And I'm not exaggerating that in any way.
Yeah.
Those were the phone calls that he was leaving for relatives and friends. I'm like, Dad, you can't leave that message.
Yeah, he was pretty calm about it.
You can't be like, I'm dying, so call me back if you want to.
He was Dan Rathering it.
Yes. Yeah. He was looking forward to his eternal walks to Golden Corral in heaven there.
Yes, he was.
But back to my whole original point here before I got derailed by your Dan Rather metaphor. It's the one part of soccer that I don't understand. Like, I get the flopping. I understand the ties. It's part of it. Even like the there's no championship game like in the leagues. But the extra time thing just baffles me.
Yeah. Throws me for a loop.
And it's like arbitrary, right? The ref just decides like how much extra time
there
is?
Yeah, there was a big article written. I want to say it was by 538. I can't remember who it was. And they tested one of the World Cup games. And they counted, I guess, with a stopwatch, all of the stoppage time in the second half of that game. Forget what game it was. And when the board went up in the game, they said 6 minutes of stoppage time.
Yeah.
And what they had calculated was 13 minutes of stoppage time. So I don't know. Maybe FIFA or whoever looks at this and goes, we can't possibly have them play for 13 more minutes. That'd be a whole nother extra time period, essentially. So let's just cut it in half. Maybe there's some weird arbitrary rule they have. But yeah, the legitimate amount of stoppage time would likely be closer to 10 to 13 minutes per game versus 2 to 4 minutes per game.
Yeah, like today I saw that they put up 4. So it went 120 minutes and they said that plus 4, but then it went like longer than that.
Well, because they will also add time if their stoppage is in stoppage time. Like if there is an injury and that kills a minute, they'll add that minute again over the plus 4.
But no one knows. Like, well, it just randomly ends.
Well, the ref has a little like stopwatch he's keeping an eye on.
But no one knows. The announcer doesn't know. The players don't know. The ref just arbitrarily decides that the game is over. And that baffles me.
Usually if there's an offensive chance going on, he won't stop it even if it's past time. And then if it gets cleared out to midfield, that's when he'll blow it.
That's the damnedest thing. It's the
Lillard gets off a buzzer beater, but he doesn't beat the buzzer. But the ref's like, you know what? He had a really good scoring chance. So
yes. We're
going to go ahead and let that count.
Like, yeah, like the clock's at 00, but hey, he's moving down the court.
He had a good scoring chance. Let's leave that one alone.
This is like the judge from Law and Order. I'll allow it, McCoy, but watch yourself. So I saw this story. Dirt and Sprague were talking about it today, and I saw this. I think it was on SI Extra Mustard. In the world of college football, coaches are always trying to gain an advantage. Remember when Jim Harbaugh wouldn't announce his roster? You remember that a couple years ago? Jim Harbaugh refused.
Wouldn't put out his depth chart.
He didn't put out his roster. Yeah. He not just the depth chart. He's like, I don't know. I don't have to. There's no law saying I have to put out a roster. So he's like trying to gain some sort of secretive edge.
Right.
Well, Troy Calhoun is the head coach at Air Force, needs a new defensive coordinator. Their defensive coordinator, by the way, left to go. He's the linebackers coach to the Carolina Panthers. So Jim Calhoun did not hire a new defensive coordinator. He just promoted from within. So one of the six assistants is now the defensive coordinator. But here's the thing. Troy Calhoun is not going to tell you who the defensive coordinator is.
Well, if I wanted to know, I'd be mad about that.
I'm fascinated why you wouldn't say who the defensive coordinator is. There is a defensive coordinator.
We just don't know who it is.
Yes.
Do the players know?
Yes, the players know.
Okay.
But is there, like, there's no advantage to be gained here.
This is only.
They're all from the same staff. And by the way, it was a crappy defense that gave up 40 points like six times last year.
This is only awesome if you line up all six defensive coaches and they all signal stuff in. So we will never know all year. I hope we never know.
I really don't know what to make of this. I sat and read this like multiple times, and I was trying to think of why you would do this, and I really couldn't come up with an answer.
The only thing I can figure out is, you know, like Oregon hires Jim Leavitt, right? And immediately you got to write an article about it.
Yeah.
So what do? Right. You research what kind of defensive philosophy he ran, wherever he came from, and you figure it out. So maybe in some weird coaching thing, he's like, you know, I'm going to hire Troy here to be the defensive coordinator. And I don't want them to know that Troy favors the, you know, 6'2 monster stack defense. And
they're all from the same staff.
No, I know that. I'm just saying that would be the one thing that I could see some stupid coach thinking. Like, I'm not going to give anybody any advantage. And when we come out to play Cal State North Fullerton on day one this year, they're going to have no idea what we run. They'll know what we run after play one, but that first play, we're going to have an advantage.
Troy Calhoun is out Harbaughing Jim Harbaugh. You won't release over too deep? Not releasing my coaches.
It's tough to out Harbaugh.
I just think sometimes coaches make way too big a deal out of stuff that is
coaches are dumb.
Really insignificant.
Coaches are dumb. They just are. Coaches are dumb, except for Mike Leach. He's interesting. Everybody else is dumb.
Mike Leach is interesting. Yes. So just get ready if you're wondering what defense Air Force is gonna run. Well, you got an idea what they're going to run because it's going to be close to the one they run last year because it's the same staff.
You don't know that. That's the point. That's the point right there. Take that, Big Sook. You don't know what Air Force is going to run. Neither do I.
Hot Air Force football talk. All right, we come back. The strangest walk-off that I've seen in quite some time and quite possibly the most sensitive athlete on the planet. Sook's Hazard here on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Sook on 1080 The Fan.
In the news coming up in about 10 minutes or so, including big airport news.
Airport news?
Six in a row.
Take that.
PDX.
They're trying to one-up us.
They are one-upping us.
Well, they're three-upping us, but either way.
Well, we're hoping to get to five.
But see what happens.
But the airport has got to six. We'll talk about that.
They have a Panda Express.
They do have a Panda Express.
We don't have a Panda Express here.
No. I'd like a Panda Express. Although I will say that within
want some delicious orange chicken right now?
It would be tasty. Mm-hmm. Like back in the little commissary back there. We've got like prepackaged sandwiches and whatnot.
Mm.
Yeah. It would be nice. I've always wanted to live like next door to a restaurant just so I could like literally walk out the door and just, you know, walk across the street. And if there was a Chinese restaurant that was next door to me, I would eat there five times a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that.
You just walk out and be like, I don't really want it again, but it's
get
right
to
there.
Know you.
Yeah.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah.
What's up? You wouldn't even have to order.
No.
You just start making stuff.
Well, it's like the whole, the cast of Friends, like the whole Central Perk thing. I always thought to myself, that's a dumb, like no one can hang out at a place that often. But if I had a restaurant or a place that I liked that was below where I lived, like I had to pass it on my way out the door.
Yeah.
Oh,
you'd stop in for some fried rice
all the time. Same thing. If you put like a bar, like in, like if there was a bar in my backyard, what are you doing? Sitting around not doing anything.
Now that bar makes pot stickers.
Yes. Now
you're in.
I'm there on a regular basis. So I was watching the Mariners last night get bludgeoned.
Let's not talk about that.
By the Angels.
I'm so upset about that.
You know, from 3-0 to stupid 8-3 in
Mike Leake's going to find himself in the hate bucket really quick.
So I was not watching the A's and the Astros, and I don't know why I would be watching the A's and the Astros.
Because they both suck, and the only possible ending to that game that's acceptable is if a black hole opens up and swallows both teams.
So I was actually watching the Mariners with my daughter, and we had this conversation about your hatred. She was asking why you hate certain teams. Because we were watching the Angels, and I said, John hates the Angels. And he says he hates, and my daughter goes, well, he hates everyone. I said, well, not necessarily. So we had to, I'm going to see if I can outline this for the people the way I did for my daughter and see if I'm accurate on this. John hates all of baseball that isn't the Seattle Mariners. In some shape or form, John hates all of baseball. Now, there's layers to that hate. National League hate, lesser than American League hate, because it doesn't directly influence the Seattle Mariners. So American League hate greater than National League hate. Now American League West hate greater than any other American League hate. And then specifically teams that are better than the Mariners, which is usually all the teams in the American League West, but especially
in any given year, it's most of the teams. Yes.
But then I had to point out to her that the Astros and the Angels, especially because every year they're better than the Mariners. And then some years it's the Rangers and then occasionally the A's. And that's how I broke down your hatred of Major League Baseball. And I got a nice little flow chart going, and I feel like I was pretty close. Like I that's pretty spot on.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that too much.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I pointed out that how much you hate the Angels, and the best part of that is
hatred of the National League might be strong.
No,
I don't know that I hate the National League.
You hate the National League. It's just not nearly as strong as the American League. No. And if the Mariners ended up playing in the National League, then your hatred would just shift.
Yeah, then it would shift.
The best part is, as me and my daughter are having this conversation, she gets on Twitter, and do you know what the first thing that pulled up?
I hate the Angels.
John had just tweeted out like 10 minutes earlier, I hate the Angels.
I do hate the Angels.
And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Gosh.
So last night, the hated Oakland A's are playing the hated Houston Astros. Now, the Astros, more hated than the A's.
Correct.
Because the Astros are better, but the A's are gaining on the Mariners, so I think there's some pretty good hatred going here for both sides.
A lot of hatred. I'm scared of the A's right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so the...
Not scared of the Astros. I came to grips with that last year.
Yes.
Hate them, not scared of them. Also hate the A's, scared of them.
But someone's saying you hate the Angels more than you do the Yankees.
Yes.
Because the Yankees are further removed. The further you're removed from the Mariners, the less John hates you.
You hate the bully that lives next door to you more than the bully that lives across town.
Yes. Even if the bully across town is worse.
Correct.
You still end up hating the neighborhood bully even more.
Hey, correct. John, can you make a hate power rankings in a break here and list in order the teams you hate?
I could
power
probably,
ranking style.
Yeah. In the American League.
Well, I mean, just in general.
Yeah, I could probably do that. I don't, like I said, I don't hate many National League teams. I'm pro baseball. So the hate is a little, but there are a lot of American League teams I hate. So yeah, I could probably do that.
I'm curious to see who is, and don't just go this year. Think over the course of your baseball fandom, who
all time.
Is the
yeah,
most
it's not
hated
just this
team.
Year.
Because the Astros were really bad and also weren't in the AL West the entire time. So
yeah, but they've really made up a lot of ground. I hate those.
And you hate Mike Trout. You can't hate Mike Trout. He's like the most likable guy, and he's the best player in baseball. And
I
yet
can
you
hate
despise.
Mike Trout. I can hate Mike.
Yes,
Trout.
Yes, you can,
and I do
because he homers against the Mariners every game.
Not only would I hate him so much. I get mad when they walk him intentionally because he should wear one between the 2 and the 7
to get him on base.
Don't walk him. Bean him.
The only thing bad
come on out, get a taste, Trout.
The only thing bad about Trout is he wears an oven mitt when he runs the bases.
There's a lot bad about Trout. He's really good, but I hate him.
There's nothing bad about Mike Trout other than the oven mitt.
Those Subway commercials were stupid.
Yeah, those are a little painful. Speaking of that, we need to talk about the Bryce Harper commercial that's running and why Bryce Harper can't read a commercial.
I hate Bryce Harper, too.
We digress. So the Astros and the
Ace. The hated, frightening ace.
Yes. So it's bottom of nine, tie score, right? And what is it? Bregman's up, who's already homered twice in the game for the Astros.
I hate him.
And he swings and hits a ball maybe a foot and a half.
Yeah, it kind of flubs off to the right.
Yeah, it's a little...
In foul territory.
A little squibber off in the foul territory. So Bregman doesn't run. He just is kind of standing there. But the ball kind of gets a little cue ball English on it, and it starts to roll back fair.
Luke Roy is the catcher, and he comes out to kind of field it, but he doesn't right away because it's foul.
Yes.
And Bregman's standing there.
Not moving.
Right, and the ball kind of rolls back in fair.
Yes. It just it is like a gust from the gods, if you will. So he goes over, LaCroix goes over and picks up the ball. He bare hands it. So at this point, Bregman's like, oh crap, I kind of got to start to run. So he takes a step towards first, but he's being blocked. So LaCroix reaches out to try to tag him barehanded with the ball, and he does this Matador Ole sort of thing. He takes a step backwards and does like the he
goes into the Matrix.
Yes.
And so Luke Roy was trying to steal an out, basically.
Yeah.
So because Bregman is standing there, Luke Roy thinks, because it's fair, I'll pick it up real quick and tag him, get a free out.
Sure.
Not that dumb.
No, it's actually a pretty smart move. Yeah. And he picks it up right on the line.
What he doesn't account is that he went into the Matrix.
He's dead to rights. There's no way that he is standing on the base path. There's no way for Bregman to get to first. But as he goes to swing the ball at him, he drops the ball. So Bregman starts heading down to first.
Now he's got to run to first.
Yes, now he has to run to first. So LaCroix goes and picks up the ball and then proceeds to airmail it into right field, and the winning run comes around and scores.
The winning run comes around. Walk-off single that traveled
2 feet?
Maybe 2 feet. Maybe.
Is that the shortest walk-off hit? Because we've seen like third strike goes by. He didn't. He got it. He hit the ball.
Yeah.
I believe in the history of baseball, that is the shortest walk-off hit of all time.
There were a bunch of national baseball writers on Twitter right after just saying they'd never seen that. And then you hear that. It's one of the great things about baseball is you watch a baseball game, you never know what you're going to see, right? I'd never seen that. I'd never seen it end that way.
No, kind of blew my mind.
And thankfully, it was not a good thing that the Astros won, but it was a good thing that the A's lost, because again, I hate both teams, but I'm scared of the A's right now.
Yes, people are asking for your hatred power rankings.
I'm working on it. It might take a segment or two, but I'm working on it.
The other good part, yes, I get it. It wasn't a hit, it was an error, but I'm saying he hit the ball and it traveled a foot and a half.
Well,
never seen it.
It was, yeah, I mean, it was a throwing error, but he hit it, and it was fair. When he picked it up, it was fair.
It was fair. And then he proceeded to airmail it into right field.
Yeah.
The other good part about John's hatred, to let you behind the curtain, some of it is for the most arbitrary reasons known to man. Like, you hate Jed Lowry, not just because he plays for the Oakland A's.
Correct.
But that
he's a double flapper.
He wears a helmet with two flaps.
Yep.
That sort of thing can lead to my brother hating a baseball player.
Correct.
An inappropriate number can also lead to you hating someone.
Yep. I disliked Paxson for a while because he wears 65, but he's overcome that. So I hated Daniel Murphy for the Texas Rangers just because I didn't like his warm-up swing.
See?
He like T-Rexes it. He's got these really short arms.
I have to say, John, you do have to put one team on the list for sure.
Don't go Mariners. They suck and I hate them.
Can they top my hate power rankings?
Depending on the year and what they're doing.
Yeah.
I do believe that at times you hate the Seattle Mariners more so than any other team in baseball.
I can't defend that. That's correct.
The life you lead, it is a hell of a thing. All right. We will have to get to the most sensitive NBA player of all time another time, because next we have In the News.
In the News.
Here, though, Lynch with Sports Center.
Bro. Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Bifurcate.
Completely distracted over here by my hate rankings.
Yeah, you didn't say a word that entire break. In fact, you left your mic on.
Good thing I did.
But no one noticed because you were just digging into your hate rankings. Someone brought up old Jesus Montero. He wore number 63.
Yeah, and I replied to him. They asked me if I hated him because he wore 63. I said, among other reasons.
That and he was terrible.
Gosh, that really bothers me. If you're a, you shouldn't wear 63. In fact, I'm convinced that's why he sucked.
It's like when you watch a baseball movie, like For Love of the Game, and the guy playing for the Yankees wears like 66. Yeah. You're like, no Yankee is wearing 66.
There's a reason.
Aaron Judge is 99.
And that's bad too.
But at least it's like, at least Gretzky. Like 99 isn't as bad as 66. No one's 66 unless you're like a left guard or Mario Lemieux.
Make no mistake, Mike Lynch. Aaron Judge should not wear 99. That's stupid. But of all the stupid numbers he could wear, I can live with that because probably of Gretzky.
Yeah.
Plus, I like any double numbers. I like being able to be like, hey, what's up, nines? I like that. Now, double zero is the stupidest number of all time. If you wear double zero, you're automatically in the hate bucket. Lillard is lucky that I kind of like him because wearing zero also is stupid.
He calls it the letter O.
Yeah, that's stupid. I'm telling you that right now. The letter O is stupid, but at least
Oakland,
it's just
Oakland, Ogden, and Oregon, right? Oregon. That's what he did.
At least it's just one. If he tried to pull the Duckworth, that's and believe me, I hated Duckworth because of the double zeros.
John's so. Arbitrary hate, and I'm look, I've had 39 years of this. It is phenomenal the things that John can hate and the reasons why he can hate them.
You got that right.
The list is long and prestigious.
And it may start with Jesus Montero crying out loud.
Well, we'll get your power. Maybe in the club you can compose your power rankings.
I have a pretty good grasp on the American League right now because I'm much more familiar with them.
Yes.
I don't watch a ton of National League baseball, but there are some, like I can tell you right now, that the Marlins probably are at the top of the National League hate ranking.
Simply because they win World Series and don't try?
Correct. They not only have they been, they've won twice.
And they don't really care.
No, they don't care. Two World Series? The Mariners can't even get there? And the Marlins have two?
I knew immediately when you said Marlins that that's why you hate, the Marlins.
Yeah, I hate the Marlins.
Well, who doesn't?
Plus, they just gave Giancarlo Stanton to the Yankees for a ham sandwich. Yeah, it's ridiculous is what it is, Mike. If they get Machado, I'm punching you in the face. I'll tell you that. I'm coming in on the baseball show, and there'll be a segment where I punch you in the face, and it'll just be Patrick describing me hit you in the face.
There are reports that the strongest offer for Manny Machado at this point is the New York Yankees.
Yeah, I'm aware. I'm aware. Thank you.
All right. Too much sports. Now, in the news. There you go. I'm your noted news contributor, along with my... What did we just say you were? You were.
I'm a news observer.
Eyewitness.
I'm the guy filming.
Yes. So
you're the Nightcrawler.
Yeah, that's a good movie, by the
way. Yeah, very
Nightcrawler is a good
super
flick.
Creepy.
Can I say Jake Gyllenhaal underrated?
I think he looks like Rob.
Yeah, he's got a little Rob thing going.
Yeah,
for
every
him.
Time I see Gyllenhaal, I think of Rob.
But he's solid.
He's a good actor. Yeah. And that's a really good movie.
I mean, he's in some like he was in Prince of Persia. But for the most part, if he's in it, I'll give it a spin.
Speaking of the news, they had the whole road blocked off again here.
I know.
I had to detour.
The damn ice people are back.
Threw me for a loop today trying to detour.
Oh, it's right here. But we'll start again. 8 arrested when demonstrations outside of the ice facility. They did the human chain. 8 protesters. Actually, there was 9, but one of them escaped. One of them hoofed it. One of them went on the lam, and they weren't able to cheese him. Yeah, he took off. So I guess they, if you don't know, like the whole ice protest here in Portland, it's 50 feet from our building. We could walk out the door, which we walk in, and watch the protest going on.
It's right there.
And the people are still there, but the feds, the Portland police are involved in this, but the feds are there. And I guess to kind of keep law and order. And I'm always amazed, like there's always one dude that's all like combat out on top of the roof. Like he's ready to like go Rambo. Like what's happening there? Do we really need like SWAT level? It's at this point, it's honestly just a bunch of homeless people hanging out behind some wooden crates.
Well, some of those fences are illegal.
I guess. So that is true.
We need Rumsfeld on the roof checking things out.
Yesterday, there were there was conflicting reports about whose fence was more illegal. The protesters were building an illegal fence, and the ICE building built a fence that was too high. Well, today, I guess the protesters tried to block a van from exiting the ICE facility. And so they did the Red Rover, Red Rover, let ICE come on over, and they all linked arms. And that didn't work out so well because they were all arrested except for the one dude. There might have been a gal. It didn't say. It just said that there was one protester. One detained protester ran away. He took off. They said that the officers went after the protester but didn't know whether he or she was among the eight arrested. So, in theory, one of them got away.
Can I just say, when you talk about running away, can I just say this?
And yeah.
I don't think this is controversial in any way.
Sure.
I have the utmost respect for law enforcement. I have to believe that the worst part of being an officer of the law is chasing people.
You think?
That's got to just be old.
I think they would like.
You want to run after somebody?
It's
like, I got to go chase this guy again.
It's hunting the most dangerous game, John. It's hunting man. You're telling me right now that if I told you that Mike Lynch was out in the woods and we had to go hunt him down and we had tasers and clubs and a dog, that part of you wouldn't get a... Now, it's 90 degrees outside, but let's say it's like 72. There's part of you that doesn't get a little excited that we get to hunt down Mike.
If I have to slowly hunt down Mike through the woods, maybe. If I have to chase Mike, I don't want to chase anybody.
I think it's the adrenaline. Yeah,
it's just the running.
I'm not sure you guys are catching me either. Chasing me.
No, well, I'll tell you this. No, I probably wouldn't catch you right now, and I wouldn't try. The moment you... if I tried... when I come in and try to punch you in the face after the Yankees get Machado, if you run, you'll get away because I'm not chasing you. I'll just look at Patrick and be like, well, that segment didn't work.
Yeah. Well, then you can just linger at my chair expecting me to return.
Mike,
little do you know, I'm going home.
Yeah, Mike just ran away, so that segment didn't work.
Well, the good piece of news is, remember the Oregon man that crashed his car in Missoula? And then he abandoned the baby. They found the baby alive.
I heard that. Five months old. So that's crazy.
So this dumbass, he's from Oregon, and he was in Missoula. He crashed his car, and then he proceeded to take the baby out of the car. 5 months old, by the way. And I don't think it was his. I think it was like his girlfriend's. He took the baby out of the car, and then he left it in the woods because, quote, the baby was heavy.
Was it a junky baby?
Well, those car seats can be kind of heavy.
They can be cumbersome for sure.
And he was on a lot of drugs.
Well, there's your answer right there. You should have had a stroller and no drugs.
Well, again, it's the woods. It's the scraggly woods. You probably can't really stroller very well through the woods. Well, they found the five-month-old baby buried under a pile of debris. So I don't know if that's good or bad that he put the baby under like some sticks and whatnot. Did that shield the baby? Or was he just trying to cover the baby so no one found it?
Or did the baby just kind of roll and wiggle and wedge himself under some sticks?
Nah, the baby was in the car seat.
Oh,
right. Can't move, you're strapped in there.
So maybe he Bear Grylls the little little makeshift. Maybe little makeshift
a little teepee.
Yeah.
I don't know. The guy was apparently high off his you know what. But they found the kid, and the kid's going to be okay, which I think is a damn good story.
Yeah.
And a really terrible excuse for leaving a five-month-old baby out in the woods. The baby was heavy. Once again, drugs, they're a hell of a thing. All right, we come back. We've got Cougar News and quite possibly the greatest news story to ever come out of New Jersey.
That's saying a lot.
Phenomenal.
Okay.
In the news when we come back. Hot 5-5 coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We're in the midst of In the News. There's a cougar on the prowl, evidently. Although there's no evidence of it. But a lady in Southeast Portland reported seeing what appeared to be a cougar on Monday. Portland police said that a woman reported seeing the large cat.
Meow.
She described as a cougar. It was in her backyard on the 2600 block of Southeast 118th Avenue. About 11:30 p.m. But when the police showed up, no cougar was to be found. They did say, though, that
cougars are elusive.
They are elusive, unless you're at like the copper penny or something. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife did say anyone that encounters a cougar that appears to be aggressive, you should raise your arms to make yourself appear larger and clap your hands to scare it away, or buy it several drinks and play it classic rock. That works too, from what I'm told.
That's funny. I see what you did there. You're talking about... Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Hey, now. Yeah. They're not old, John. They're experienced.
Yes, they are.
They know what they want. So be on the lookout. Apparently, the cougars are coming for us. Sewer cougars. Now I want to get to this story because we didn't get a chance to get to it yesterday. We saw it right at the end. I believe it's the best story to ever come out of New Jersey because, let's be honest, outside of Mike Lynch, nothing good comes out of New Jersey. And I believe
New Jersey's favorite son, Mike Lynch.
I feel like New Jersey has.
You're gonna poo-poo like Bruce Springsteen and stuff.
Yeah, I feel like New Jersey has a bad reputation. Wow. I feel like Jersey Shore tainted the state of New Jersey now.
And didn't help it.
No, and they're kind of they're speaking of tainted. They're kind of the taint of New York. It's just. It doesn't have a great rep, Mike. Even being from New Jersey, you have to admit.
I am well aware that it doesn't have a great rep.
No.
Although most people know nothing about it outside of Jersey Shore and what they're told.
That's what I'm saying. It's a reputation. Yeah. And it's not a good one. But this story is fantastic. And I'm asking a question before we read the story. At the end of it, you tell me, is this the best or the worst day of this man's life? So a man returned to his New Jersey home Monday night. And he goes into the garage because he hears a car running. He opens it and he finds his car that's still running and there's some fumes going around in the garage.
Yep.
And he finds his wife in the car. And he finds another man in the car.
Uh-oh.
And they're naked.
Uh-oh.
And they're dead.
And they're dead.
Don't laugh at death.
Oh, I'm laughing at this.
In this case, it's kind of funny. Did you see this story?
I did, yeah.
So the lady, they haven't released the names. She's 39 years old, though. Apparently, their car needed work.
Car had broken down.
The car had broken down. So maybe when he came home, he's like, hey, the car's running. This is awesome.
Feels pretty good.
The guy that she was having sex with was her mechanic.
The mechanic.
And she was paying for the car repairs with sex.
It was an exchange of goods and services.
Wait. This is literally a porn scene.
Yes.
Yes. Other than apparently while they're having sex in his garage to pay for the repairs on the car, carbon monoxide poisoning kills them both.
Right. So that's not the porn scene.
No.
But the fact that she walked into the garage, probably slightly lowered the little strap on her shirt and goes, hey,
Mrs. Anderson, this is going to be about $3,800.
I think we can knock a couple shekels off of this.
Can we work something out? Can we work out a payment plan? Dead. You come home and you find your wife having an affair with the mechanic and they're dead.
So again, I asked the question, best or worst day of your life?
I think there's a little of both.
Yeah, I think it's both. I think your emotions are in flux because you
think about it.
You realize, whoa, there's a guy in the car, and you get really mad. Then you realize they're dead, and then you get really sad. And then you realize, well, wait, she was cheating on me. And then you get mad again.
Like it's,
and then you're confused.
It's a roller coaster. Absolutely. Oh, my God, my wife's dead. Wait a minute. She was sleeping with that guy. Hey, and you know what the cherry on top of this? The car's fixed.
At least the car's fixed.
The car's fixed.
Apparently, that is the bright side of this whole thing. At least the car's fixed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how as a mechanic do you not know that the carbon monoxide? How about opening a window there, buddy? Open the garage door.
Clearly, he was caught in the throes of passion.
I guess. And by the way, I have to believe that this happens, not the death part, but the let's work out a payment plan.
Oh, yeah.
This has to happen
all the
way
time.
More.
All the time.
Than,
I believe
than we give it credit for.
Agreed.
Yes.
Totally believe that.
If you've got anything going on, like, I don't even think anything good. If you just have, like, a three or a four, I think that there's mechanics out there that are willing to barter goods and services.
Put it this way. If you want to try to attempt to pay for services that way,
yes,
just drive around.
Yeah.
You will find a place based just on site.
Yes.
That you will be able to. It probably will start with a sign in the door that says checks or no no checks or cash only. Find a cash only guy.
I'm with you.
You could probably make it happen.
You find me a halfway decent gal and whatever the repair that needs to be done, yes. Or if you look like Isaac Rupp.
Well,
you go shirtless with a fedora.
You just walk in. How much are these boat repairs going to cost? Maybe that's the behind the scenes story of his beefcake photo. The boat broke down. Potter says to him, how are we going to pay for this? We're on vacation. Rob just gears down a little.
Rob's like, I'll tell you how we're going to pay for it. We're going to pay for it with these salt and pepper chest pubes.
And how long does it take to die from carbon monoxide poisoning.
Well, I think you fall, like you pass out, and then once you pass out, then it probably takes a little bit.
Wonder how long that was going on in there.
I don't know.
Enough to kill you.
Yeah. Huh. Just saying. Well, like you come home, got a car fixed, and I got a dead wife, but you've got a cheating dead wife, and maybe a little feeling that karma is on your side.
Yeah, I guess if you're gonna find out that your wife's cheating on you, at least you wrap it all up in a tidy little package.
Is there life insurance involved in this?
Yeah, hope so.
See? It'd be the ultimate cherry on top. All right, that is in the news. We come back, the Hot 5 at 5. Sooks Hazard here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.